You're listening to the weekend podcast of Palm Valley Church. We hope this message encourages you in your walk with Christ.
Well, again, good morning and welcome. And we welcome in also Edinburgh and all of our online listeners. So grateful to have you here. And we've been looking at the Jesus way. He came along and Jesus did, and he made a lot of statements about himself, and they were very defining. One of them, in John 14, 6, he says very simply, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if we've been in church for a while, we've heard this. It kind of rolls off the tongue, way, truth, life. But I think there's a lot there. He goes on to say, there's no other way to the Father but by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I think 2,000 years ago, in their culture that Jesus actually came to, it actually made a lot of sense for him to come and say, I am the way. To truly be a disciple of Jesus meant you were a Christ follower. You followed his way, how he lived. And as you followed his way, you heard his teaching and you got his truth. And as you got his truth, because you followed in the way, then you get his life. The way, the truth, and the... Are you with me today? Amen. I need you to speak up, because I can't speak too loud today, all right? It's a long week. And I think sometimes in our culture, we go about this backwards. We have something inside of us that's dying, a relationship, a problem with finance, physical health, whatever. And we come to Jesus and we want life. There's nothing wrong with that. He wants us to come to him. We want his life. His truth? Well, it depends on, are the Cowboys still in or not? Oh, by the way, welcome back, some of you. 17 weeks. Welcome back to Palm Valley Church. Anyway. Sorry. Where was I? Truth. You know, we want his life. Truth is optional. The way, I mean, come on, I know how to live. I know what I'm doing. And what I propose to this series is that Jesus, he obviously came to bring life to everything that was losing life. He is the giver of life, and he gives life to the full, the Bible says. And he came to give us truth. He preached. He taught. And there's so much that we can learn of him. But he came to show us a way to live, too. And if ever there was a culture that needed it, it's ours. And it's so relevant in 2019. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And sadly, what's clear is, for many, we've lost our way. Our way hasn't led to real inner peace, a real joy about life or happiness. And so I want to break down and unpack a statement that Jesus made in Matthew chapter 11. It's a profound invitation that I would defy you to find any world religious leader ever throughout history who made this kind of an invitation. He says in Matthew 11, verse 28, he looks at you and he looks at me, he says, come to me. All you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Then he says, take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. I am gentle and humble in heart. You'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's the words of Jesus, the one we've been singing about, the one that we talk to, the one that we pray to, the one that all of our hope is on. I've told you before, someone stopped me one time, and they actually had a whole different faith system, but they came to the church, and they loved what they saw. They loved the grounds. They loved, it was a woman. She loved the woman's bathroom. It's a big deal. She loved the programs for the kids. She loved the song service. She liked a lot of the teaching. But she said, this is all good, but could you tone down the part about Jesus? That's what she said. I said, lady, we got nothing without Jesus. Nothing. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Well, you're using him as a crutch. No, I'm using him as the whole bed. He's the hospital bed. I need him for everything. Jesus, we cannot be ashamed of the name that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And this Jesus invites us and says, come to me. And notice who he's calling. You're weary and you're burdened. He's going to start a faith movement with weary and burdened people. He doesn't say, come to me if you've been highly successful and you have a lot to give. It's not the qualification. He says, come to me. You're weary and you're heavy burdened. And that's the first thing I see here, that in following the Jesus way is we've got to make a decision to respond. The invitation's there. He's offered it. You have to choose to come to Jesus. In other words, movement is involved. Physical, somehow, a response. For some people, they know the date and the time they made that decision. I've talked to people. Sometimes people, they remember the moment, the place, and they have a story. I like that. Other people, they say, I don't know when it happened. I just know there's things I stopped doing, and then there's things I started doing, and I just kept following Jesus and his ways. And I imagine in this room there's two camps, and they're both good. Some, it was a radical lightning moment. You just knew. Others, you didn't know. You just followed him. You responded with movement and action and activity. I love both. It is the requirement that we respond with movement, that we follow in his footsteps. We don't just pray a prayer to accept the Lord as Savior. You move towards him, so as he moves, you follow. As he leads, there you go. You move into his steps. You take one step after another. I think there's another thing we should consider from this, and it's this whole business about a yoke. He said, take my yoke upon you. Well, a yoke was this piece of farm equipment. It's common, still used, where it would basically, this large piece of wood, timber, placed over the shoulders and back of an oxen or cattle, two of them, to bring them together. And it made them a powerful team, right? With the yoke in place, the oxen, they could work together. They could work in tandem. And when they're like this, they have to submit their individual way to the yoke and the yoke's way. And they give up their right to veer. And it made possible for them to work together. And what's amazing is they were able to do things they couldn't do alone. They were able to be twice as strong. And Jesus uses this picture, offers this yoke. Side-by-side relationship with him to help us move through life. And maybe you think, I don't know, that kind of sounds repressive, restrictive, oppressive. But note the words of Jesus describing the yoke. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Did you hear it? It's easy. The yoke of Jesus is not the yoke of religion, not even the yoke of a church. It's not a yoke of any other way than Jesus himself would live. Other yokes can be cumbersome, for sure. Other yokes could rub you the wrong way. Some yokes will be heavy or ill-fitting, exhausting to wear, but not the yoke of Jesus. It's easy. It's light. So we respond. We've been called. We take up this yoke with Jesus. And then he describes for us a lot of benefits that we have by wearing this. He says, for example, you will find rest for your souls. Oh, I meet people, I pray with people, and And sometimes they don't have needs like others have needs. They've got a lot of success in this world. They can do a lot with money. But inside, if they open the door of their heart, there's no rest for their souls. Jesus' invitation is saying, I see you. I see where you're at. You need rest inside for your souls. See, when the oxen pair, they wear that yoke. One of the oxen is the lead, is stronger, is more experienced, kind of knows where to go. The second one, in a sense, submits to the first one. The second one is smaller, maybe younger, less trained, and will, in essence, carry a lighter part of the load. And so when we are yoked to the Jesus way of life, we discover that Jesus bears the burden for us. He bears so much of the burden of our past lives so that we can be free as we go into our future lives. He carries the weight of our sins and our mistakes. And in short, his invitation is that he will carry what we cannot. And it means the worries and the fears, anxieties that plague us will be offered to him. We don't have to be weighed down and burdened by them. And Jesus frees us in a way so that the yoke we're carrying is easy and it's light. Can I, as an aside, just say, every so often in the church world, there's a book written or somebody teaches something different. And they're trying to add something more to Jesus. They'll tell you that, oh, well, you've had that experience with Jesus, but now you need this over here. Be careful of that. I believe Jesus is more than enough. All we need is him. He's the most powerful Savior. He is not limited. He is not restricted. There is nothing that he cannot do. There's no problem that he cannot solve. He is able and complete in every way. He is the all in all. And if there was a greater power or a higher God, he's so loving he would point to that God. But he doesn't. He says, I am the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Indeed. Christ is enough for me, we sing. That's a true statement. Another aspect of this invitation, it requires a process of learning. Jesus says, come, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I love this. And it's a little deeper aspect of this idea of the yoke. We see how he walks. We learn to walk in his steps, his ways, which are different than ours, but we begin to learn his ways. We learn to pray when we follow Jesus in his way. We read scriptures in a different way, in a life-giving way. Listen, as Jesus prompts us, we learn to hear his voice and his promptings. We learn about relationships. We learn about the essence of love and forgiveness, stewardship, all of these things. And then as our journey with him continues, we learn how to face all of the darkness that we will have to face. Our fears and anxieties, our longings, unanswered prayers, betrayals, disappointments, more. We even learn not to fear death. That it's not the end of life, but it's actually the beginning of heaven. And that to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. In a moment, there's no passage of time between passing from this life into his care. There's no gap. It's instant. 2,000 years ago, when Jesus came to earth, he came as a rabbi, a teacher. In Jewish society, there was nobody more esteemed, revered, than the rabbis. And it was the rabbi's job over a community to help people follow Torah, the law. Torah was laid out there, but it sometimes needed explanation. For example, don't work on the Sabbath, keep it holy. The rabbi's job was to help you understand what that was. Some would say, well, you can't walk more than a mile, let's say. Others could say, well, you can walk more than a mile so long as it's not for work. And so they would have their different sets of applications and teaching, contextualizing God's law for their communities. And nothing was more important than this in their community. There was no other higher thing. This was everything. And so the rabbis would take their teachings and their set of understandings. It was known as the rabbi's yoke, the rabbi's teaching. And along comes a new rabbi, Jesus of Nazareth. And in the Sermon on the Mount, you'll notice there's a phrase that he keeps giving. He would say to his people, you've heard it said that. In other words, that's a yoke. But I tell you this. He would say, for example, you've heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. What is he doing? He is establishing with authority a new yoke. Learn of me, he says. We lean in and we learn of him. And he lays out a new yoke. Not just any yoke, not just any teaching, but his whole purpose for coming was to establish his kingdom here, the kingdom of the rule and reign of God that goes on in heaven. To establish, he said frequently, it says he spoke about the kingdom over 80 times through scriptures, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. He taught us in the Lord's Prayer to pray for his kingdom come in our life. What does that mean? It means that although we live in this world, we're not of this world. It means values are different, and the things that we see in perspectives, we look differently, just like Jesus taught. Don't hate your enemies, love your enemies. And he's establishing a new yoke. And I remind you again, he says, come to me. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. His teaching is absolutely fundamental to his mission, his way. And those hearing this invitation would know exactly what he was talking about. So to wear the Jesus yoke means for us that we walk in his rhythm. We walk in his way, not our own. We walk in cadence with him. We learn to move when he moves. We learn of him. And we wear the yoke of Jesus. We can't get ahead of him because we're yoked. We discover we don't really want to get ahead of him. We trust him. To walk, it requires just daily, constant choices. Did you ever notice in Scripture when Jesus would come and when he chose his disciples and he called them out? Now, culturally, the highest thing, the greatest thing that a young man could have done 2,000 years ago in these Jewish cultures would be to train and learn under a rabbi. And they did from a very young age. And the older they got, the fewer and fewer. It's kind of like they scaled down and they just got to the varsity. The best of the best would follow the rabbis. And when Jesus comes and he picks the 12, you'll find all of them doing other things. It means they weren't picked. They weren't good enough. They weren't the cream of the crop. Even in the book of Acts, we're told that when the Pharisees see him, we see these are common, uneducated, just normal men. But they also said, it's obvious they had been with Jesus. Why is that? Why did they see that? Why would they have said that? I understand that in that culture, I always think about when Jesus called a few of them, Peter, when he called them, it says that they were fishing. And they dropped their nets. They jumped out of the boat, left dad in the boat, and followed Jesus. I mean, that's pretty radical. You hear that and you're like, wow. Why would they do that? Because it was the greatest thing to be called by a rabbi. Come on, I'll make you a fisher of men. And off they went. And dad, as he goes back to the village, and people are going, where's your sons? Why are you taking care of those nets by yourself? He would say, oh, this rabbi called them. And they're going to be his followers, or Talmudim. Wow. And the men of the village, the people of the village would be so proud. And they would give this saying, as I understand it, that may the dust of the rabbi be on them. In other words, may they walk so close to their rabbi. that as his sandals kick up dust, may it fall on them. Palm Valley Church, may we follow so close to our rabbi that the dust of our rabbi falls on us. Remember, Jesus came to show us how to live as much as he came to save us from our sins. This is important. To reduce Jesus simply to a crucifix is to ignore everything he said about life. He's more than just that. He showed us how to live for 3 years, and we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John showing us how to live in this broken and fallen world. To follow Jesus first means to turn away from things that are destructive. By the way, as we do, just like the disciples of old, when we make choices to live, the decisions to follow Jesus in his way sometimes are very countercultural, counterintuitive even. It's radical sometimes to value what his promptings are over your life more than what seems like would be a good idea by somebody else's standards. At times, he undoubtedly will ask us to do things, go places, live in zip codes that you think, well, why am I here? But you get a sense you're in tandem with Jesus. His yoke's on you, and he's got you exactly where you're supposed to be. And in that moment, you trust. Doesn't matter what others think. It may not always be what's best for careers. It may not always, in a natural sense, be what's best for professional development, vocational ladders we're climbing. But if that's where the Lord's leading, you go where he leads. Can I also add, I'd be remiss if I didn't say this from 2 Corinthians 6. Paul, he warns us, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. Frequently we do this. We take off the yoke of Jesus, his yoke, and we align ourselves elsewhere. Understand this, Jesus didn't move. He didn't go in that direction. We connected in a way that we shouldn't have. We'll always be tempted with this, every one of us. There's always somebody moving in a direction. Could just be a degree off, it could be 180 degrees off. But since he is the way, let's turn to his way. Let's stay his way. Remember, the Jesus way, wedded with the Jesus truth, leads to the Jesus life. This is our heart. This is what he offers. He offers us his yoke, and he offers nothing else. There's no degree system in this. Well, I just want Jesus' help, but I don't want to be all in. I kind of want life, but I don't really want to follow his way. No, no, no. His way is simple. Come follow me. Come follow me. Come. And what he offers is his yoke, and he offers nothing else. In closing, there's a hymn. I make them do it every Christmas because I love it. It's from 1757, actually. Come, thou fount for every blessing. And there's a line in that that always captures my attention, and it always forces me to do some self-evaluation. And the line says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. I feel that way sometimes. And too often, I find myself drifting, distracted. And instead of having my heart and mind focused on the Savior who loves me and gave himself for me, I'm prone to wander. There's something else about the yoke. He said, my yoke is easy. Most believe that commentators, that it's not really a good interpretation of the word. I remember when we built this building, the foundation was poured. And then they came in trucks and they brought the steel I-beams that are holding up the building. They're in sections. There's a section. There's a section. There's a section. And they're all numbered. I walked out here. I saw it. Number one connects there. And then there's the connect. I mean, I've done Legos. It seemed, this is easy. But it's not like I could call Gerald and say, hey, help me, let's put these things up. Are you kidding? They were tons. They weighed tons. Impossible for me to do that. No matter my will or my best intentions. Impossible. And then they brought a crane. And what looked impossible to me suddenly actually was very easy with the right equipment and people who knew what they were doing. When Jesus says, come to me, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's not because life is easy. Life isn't. It's not because we're not challenged. No, we're challenged. It's just this truth. What seems impossible for us is so very possible for him. Would you stand together?
We hope you enjoyed this message today. Don't miss out on next week's teaching. You can subscribe to us on iTunes and keep up to date with what's happening at palmvalleychurch.com.